Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Forget the backpack. Forget the gloves. The real question of the Nancy Guthrie case is one nobody can answer yet. Why has the person who took her said absolutely nothing? It's assuming the ransom notes, the TMZ noise, we'll call it that to be nice, is all nothing. Why has the person who took her said absolutely nothing? No contact with the family, no demands, no negotiation, just 3 weeks of silence, 4 weeks now. The ransom notes are noise, opportunist, not the perpetrator. So what kind of mind takes an 84-year-old woman and then goes completely dark? That's what we're unpacking today with psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott. Siobhan, as always, welcome. Let's dive into this angle of the conversation without all the noise of TMZ and this and that and nanos. When someone abducts a person and makes no attempt to leverage them, no communication, no demands, no engagement, what does that silence typically represent psychologically? Is this about control, shame, or something else entirely?
It's really hard to say. You know, we're all speculating, but it doesn't seem like, with no ransom demand at this point, it doesn't seem like perhaps there was ever meant to be that kind of leverage, that it was never about financial gain for them. And so then we get into what would other motivations be? And perhaps the simplest one is that she's not alive, and that the concealment of a body simply makes it hard to prosecute someone for murder if there's never a body found.
Does that then fall us into the territory of, I mean, you know, basically Occam's razor, the simplest thing is the obvious, like a B&E gone wrong, I don't want to be in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had to make my best guess, that's the best I could come up with. You know, the B&E gone wrong. The other, which would be a less likely possibility, would be some kind of personal grievance against Nancy or the Guthrie family or against Savannah. And this is just some kind of act of twisted revenge. But I think the B&E gone wrong is probably the simplest and most apt possibility.
Yeah, I agree. Let's keep examining it if maybe there's something else for the sake of the conversation. You got hostage situations. Communication is currency. This has never been like a hostage type situation, as people, you know, may have wanted to think we're going to get there. We're just waiting for that to begin. You have the hostage negotiation team standing by, and great. Never utilized. But the communication is currency, typically, in that sort of a situation. It's how perpetrators get what they want. But this person has made no effort to extract anything. Not money, not concessions, nothing, not even a message of any sort. What does it mean if somebody takes a human being and treats them as though they have no transactional value at all?
Well, it sure shows a lack of empathy, but I think anytime you have somebody who's criminally motivated, you know, whatever their motivation is, they're going to break into a house. This is not a person that has a lot of empathy and compassion for other people. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that attempts by the family to stir up this sense of guilt or morality, I don't think that's going to work, because just by nature of the crime, this is not a person who's wired that way.
What does it tell about the person's psychology that there's been no bite even at the money yet? And it's interesting because Savannah just yesterday put out the message that, you know, there's $1 million up for grabs if we can figure out where she is. And there's caveats to it. You got to, you know, basically communicate through the FBI to get this information, give us this information, and, you know, we're going to figure out who you are. So it's not like the killer can go cash in, but whoever may know something may cash in. What does it say about the whole dichotomy of that ecosystem of who that person is and maybe someone around them, that even thus far, $200,000 hasn't done the job, at a million now for more than 48 hours and still nothing. What does that read into you as?
Well, whoever the primary perpetrator is probably not going to bite, probably not going to have a response to mm-hmm. that because they know they're going to be caught. Would anybody else come forward? Who knows? There may not be anybody else who mm-hmm. has any information. Or people may actually be communicating in some way, and it may not be any useful information. And we're just not being told about it at this point. But it certainly can't hurt to do it. I understand their motivation for trying.
You know, people have leakage. People do talk, but not always. And especially, you know, people hold deep, dark secrets, whatever. I doubt there's any stats on this, so I'm just going to go, you know, what's your insight on this? Of someone who does something like this, someone who's, let's say it is a B&E gone wrong, and let's say Nancy accidentally died. What are the odds? What do you think about the likelihood that this person did speak to anybody else or told anyone else about this in any way, shape, or form? Or is this something that maybe they're just operating as normal, back to their normal life, mm-hmm. and nobody knows except that mm-hmm. one person. Is that a mm-hmm. possibility? Because so often we hear of leakage. Somebody said something to somebody. But again, that's not always the case.
Yeah, I don't think we have stats. You're right. But there certainly have been other cases and sometimes high profile cases where the person simply never told anyone. And I mentioned, I think when we were talking last week about the Kristen Smart case in mm-hmm. California, happened back in the 90s. And 25 years later, a guy was arrested and successfully prosecuted for her murder, even though the body was never found. And no one ever talked. And Paul Flores is in prison now for the murder of Kristen Smart, even though no one has ever found her body. And Flores has never confessed anything to anyone. Mm-hmm. But he was convicted on circumstantial evidence discovered by a podcaster who kind of set the wheels in motion for a successful prosecution. But I don't think he's ever going to talk. I think the family is going to go to their graves, never knowing exactly what happened to their daughter or where her body is.
Yeah. And there are a lot of cases like that where yeah. there is no grand motivation. You know, sometimes, you know, especially if it's a younger victim, a lot of times it can look as it's sexually motivated or something mm-hmm. of that nature. It doesn't appear to be the case here, but who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? But there are, I mean, look at like the Golden State Killer. Look, there's all sorts of ones that come out of the woodwork years later. It's like, oh God, they were responsible for this and that. And it was never, let's go make money. You know, it was never, right. you know, let me get a message across to somebody. Let me show Savannah or let me, whatever, you know, insert motivation or insert some sort of sensibility that the rest of us are waiting for to explain this out, which will never really ever make sense. But sometimes there is no sensibility to it other than it's what that person wanted to do mm-hmm. at that moment in time. There was some sort of box that was checking for them of kidnapping somebody, of killing somebody, just the exercise of doing so with no other motivation other than the twisted joy that they're feeling doing such a crime. Does this lean into that area for you at all? When you look at this case, nothing taken, we don't have any messages or nothing at all. I mean, it does kind of feel like maybe this was pure, again, I'm not trying to be cold here, but just something pure joy for the monster that did this.
It is strange enough that, you know, it's hard to speculate. Mm-hmm. Could it have been somebody who had, you know, as you said, a sexual motive? Even in a woman of advanced age, those things have happened. And mm-hmm. as awful as it seems yeah. to be, it certainly could go in that direction. But I think the person was in a burglar getup, you know, so it wasn't, yeah. I mean, sometimes we see people murdered on the street for absolutely no reason other than it was a psychotic person, you know, mm-hmm. with a board who hit a whole lady on the street in Seattle. That happened a couple weeks ago. So you see weird things happen like that. But this was a person who obviously had done some planning, who came with what looked like preparation for burglary. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I keep going back to, that somebody maybe did not intend to run into her, and they did, and there was an unfortunate outcome, and this is where we're at right now.
Obviously, the search is ongoing. They're looking, you know, we've heard every which direction it could possibly go. People who do B&Es, it's usually not a one-off. It's not like, hey, today I'm going to go do a B&E, and that's the last time I'm ever going to do it. Just going to dip my toe in the pool and see how it is. It's a pattern. It's usually something, you know, they learned it from somebody, and then it's going to keep going for however long that benefits them, and that makes the most sense for their own modality. Is the best odds of finding who did this really keeping an eye out on B&Es and seeing if they go strike again? I mean, what do you think the odds are if whoever did this is going to be back out there doing B&Es and hoping for a better outcome where somebody doesn't accidentally die along the way? I'm wondering what or is this an event that may make them take pause and go, maybe I should do something else to get by?
It's sure the community I would be looking at, you mm-hmm. know, who has previous arrests for those kind of things. And I would guess that at this point, they're going to be very careful and maybe not do anything in the near future. But it would be, as you say, people are creatures of pattern, and it would be something that eventually they would go back to. And mm-hmm. so that's, yeah, if I worked in law enforcement, I would be looking at that.
How curious would you be to be looking at the communication, the incoming communication to Savannah Guthrie? And what I mean by this is, you know, she's a public figure on the Today Show. There's no way in hell she's reading all of her emails. There's somebody that's going through that and picking out the important ones. And there's the barrage of crazy that comes yeah. with that sort of a position. You know, everything from saying, I love you, thank you for the, you know, the tips on how to make a delicious broccoli salad, to you're not listening to me. Why aren't you listening to me? You know, those sort of folks, they get upset when they don't get the communication back. Might that be an area, if they're not already, I would certainly think they are, but God knows. Might that be an area that would be interesting to explore for something like this, where it could be something that's done out of spite? Or are we getting too much into the world of where this would be the made-for-TV version of this horror story?
I would definitely be looking at that. Everybody who has sent her things, you know, I've even gotten things in the mail, weird letters about how to find God or whatever. Somebody sure. sees me on a show and it's like, here's a message for you from God.
Yes.
Okay. So
and my dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine she has, as all television personalities get stuff like that, I would imagine that she has gotten a lot over the years from people who like her and people who don't like her. And so I would certainly be going through every bit of that and looking at it really closely.
It's got to be absolute hell. I mean, words can't describe. I cannot imagine the purgatory that the Guthrie family are dealing with right now. The not knowing, the watching the clusterness of this investigation in every step of the way that it's been, where we're sitting right now, where it really, hopefully I'm wrong and hopefully they do get somebody and something changes here. But the way it's looking right now is that this is slowly or quickly slipping into cold case territory. What would you say to that family as they try and not move on, but continue to move forward in their lives with this burden that is now attached to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's clear they're getting lots of support, and we wish them the best with all of that. But there's just not any we always use the word closure, right? When this is particularly bad, does closure ever really happen in a situation where there's a violent crime or some kind of mysterious death? No, but particularly here where you don't even know what happened and you don't really know, is she dead or is she still with us? It's just incredibly hard for them. And I think just the kind of, you know, the way they express their faith. I know Savannah is very religious. Leaning on your faith community and being surrounded with people who love you and care about you, but it requires a lot of emotional resiliency to move forward and pick up life and go on without ever really knowing. It's just super hard. You have to hold those two realities at the same time of holding hope. It could be, she could be alive, but then sitting with the increasingly dark possibility that she's not.
And it sounds like in their, at least the message that Savannah recently put out, that they seem to have come to that realization or acceptance that she might not be around anymore.
Yeah.
That whatever happened is incredibly heartbreaking. Your thoughts in the comments section. We'd love to hear them. Your thoughts on Substack or YouTube. The links are in the descriptions. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.